Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello everyone, I'm Chris Wynn. Welcome to the Roger Report podcast in association with the Sunderland Community Soup Kitchen, where we take a rest from League One action and take a weekend out of the schedule to begin our FA Cup campaign, which I'm still getting used to getting underway in November rather than the first weekend of January, to be fair, which I grew up with. But the last few years I've had to get used to starting it a little bit early. But Mansfield Town seem to be the side to help us get our head around it as we face them in the first round for a second successive season. So to help us bring us up to speed with all the latest at Field Mill, we're very pleased to have the company of Mansfield Town reporter for BBC Nottingham, Jake Garner. Hello, Jake.
Hi, Chris. How's it going? You okay?
Yeah, not too bad. Like I was saying before we were recording, I'm thawing out after the kids' football training in the rain, which was all good fun. But how are you keeping?
Yeah, good, thank you. Yeah, really good. Just excited to be coming up to the Stadium of Light for the second time in the space of 12 months, which is, I never thought that would happen. I thought it was going to be one of those once in a journalism career opportunity to go to a stadium of that calibre. And yeah, very excited to go back with fans as well, which is going to be great.
Yeah, well, I want to pick your brains about that. But it's amazing, isn't it? All the amount of teams in the pot, and we pull out exactly the same tie as last year for exactly the same round.
Yeah.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's one of those weird football coincidences. I remember me and my girlfriend were sat here watching the draw. I think we were, I can't remember which ball we were. I thought we were 25, and we saw Sunderland come out, and we thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if it was Mansfield again? And then lo and behold, the footballing gods said, go on, you can have another go up there now, as soon as you missed out last time on not having the fans in. So it's great for them. And yeah, it's again, it's a great place to go.
Yeah. It's funny because I was a bit kind of geeky and trying to look up. And actually, there was a couple of times Sunderland drew people in the third round, but it was like over a couple of seasons. And, you know, we had Carlisle a couple of times in the cup and straight seasons, but very weird to pull out the same team at exactly the same stage. I mean, just a bit about you, Jake, before we get into it. I mean, a couple of questions. I mean, are you a Mansfield Town fan or just have the privilege on reporting on them? And how long have you been covering Mansfield?
So I just have the privilege of reporting on them, really, through the highs and the lows. I started out covering Nottingham Forest for Hospital Radio, and then through there I met the likes of Colin Frey and David Jackson, who brought me into Radio Nottingham to work behind the scenes. And then we had a bit of a changing of the guard back in 2017 when the great Colin Slater decided to call it a day covering Notts County after nearly 50 years, and there was an opportunity for our Mansfield reporter to move up to Notts County, and then obviously that left an opening at Mansfield, and yeah, thankfully they let me have a go at it, and I've been doing it for ever since, really, which is great. I didn't think I'd make it this far, but it's but it's always a privilege, and I still get the same buzz on a match day like I did from day one, really, and it's great fun to do. Whatever the result, of course it's easier when they're winning, but even when it's through turbulent times, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks and the last couple of seasons, it's still good fun. And again, it's a real privilege to be able to do it every Saturday and Tuesday night.
Yeah, it's funny because even if you strictly, we've spoke to, you know, a few kind of commentators who kind of just commentate on the team and they follow them like yourself, but I mean, you know, strictly speaking, you're not, you know, a fan or grew up a fan of the team, but do they kind of get under your skin a little bit when you report on them week after week and you get to know people and you know, you meet the fans all the time?
Yeah. I mean, you almost become a fan without realizing it. That's what I found. You want them to do well, because then obviously you can sort of be there with them when they do well. But obviously with every high, there's God knows how many lows. So I mean, I remember being absolutely devastated when they missed out on the playoff semi-finals back in 2019. I remember sitting there thinking, oh, this was. It felt like the worst thing in the world at the time, and you really felt for the fans because it felt like it was going to happen, that they were going to get promoted that season, and ultimately it wasn't to be, and then they missed out in the lottery that is the playoff places. So again, you just become, because it's your livelihood really, or my livelihood rather, whenever anybody becomes involved with a club, reporting on them from a journalistic perspective, you ultimately your life revolves around them, being a big football fan and have been all my life, it's practically the perfect job, because I know it sounds ridiculous, but you get paid to watch football and report on football, and yeah, having a front row seat at Field Mill is a tremendous honour.
Of course, I mean, from a professional point of view, you want them to bounce all the way up to the Premier League, so you're travelling to the Emirates and Anfield and all that every week, don't you?
But, yeah, if only.
But yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned kind of the last few years there and kind of bumps in the road and things like that. So, I mean, just quickly kind of on where the club are in relation to their recent past. I was looking, and it was only a decade ago when they were locked out of their ground and had five successive seasons in the National League. And then John Radford bought the club and bought Field Mill back. So there was no longer a dispute on that front. And then after promotion back to the Football League in 2013, they are now in their ninth season in League Two. And they've been up and down, you know, in terms of finishes in League Two. You mentioned that kind of playoff season. But, yeah. I mean, is it fair to say that it's been a relatively kind of stable period for Mansfield over the last decade?
I mean, it's difficult to say. When John Radford came in, they had strong ambitions to get up to the Championship and take buy back the stadium and just try and make Mansfield a better club for the community, rather. And they're well on the way to doing that. They've got a brand new training ground as well. They've had that open for a couple of years now. So they've really got strong foundations, starting with John Radford through the academy and everywhere else. And with that, of course, they want to bring in the best players and try and get up the football pyramid, because they've got the facilities to do so. And yeah, it certainly feels like the club is on the up. I know it's difficult to say looking at the league position at the moment, but again, it's not all about the league position, because you can, even some of the best clubs in the world don't get reflected in the league table. So looking at where they are now, they've got Nigel Clough as their manager, who's been excellent. I know he's had a bit of a tough couple of weeks of late with injuries and whatnot, but to have a man of that calibre, managing your team, looking up at this early stage of the season as well, trying to get into League One, with the facilities they've got and the players they've got, things are certainly looking well at the moment, especially after a win on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll come on to that and the run before that led up to it. But looking at the last three or four seasons, I mean, which have been kind of interesting when you get into the kind of detail of them. You know, I think you mentioned as well, you know, some of that. But 2017-18, they just missed out the playoffs after Steve Evans left in the February. Following season under David Flitcroft, they were beaten in the semi-final of the playoffs by Newport, which you mentioned on penalties. And kind of looking at the fact that they've struggled at the wrong end of the table since then, is it just an obvious outsider thing to say that that decision to change a manager at that point was a turning point, or was there more to it than that?
I think it was a turning point. I think not many people expected David Flitcroft to be dismissed, but because he'd done really well, and I know that the high standards that were set, and they narrowly just missed out on them. Ultimately, the decision was at that time for a change, because David Flitcroft came in during the 2017-18 season, when Mansfield, I think, were third, fourth around that time. So I think we all thought that they were going to be sort of in and around there towards the end of the season and have a shout for the playoffs, maybe automatic promotion, and then push from there. But David Flitcroft came in, identified the problems within the squad, and ultimately the season just sort of fell away, and I think they finished eighth in the end. And I mean, they could have finished in the top seven, but ultimately they they didn't do. But then David Flitcroft, he came in and saw where the problems were, rectified those, brought some quality players in, brought Tyler Walker in from on loan from Forest at the time. He brought in Ryan Sweeney from Stoke. So two quality players. Neil Bishop as well. He was excellent. Yeah, a Football League veteran in Neil Bishop. And that sort of spine of the team, among others, led Mansfield to, well, what we thought was going to be a top three finish. I've got to mention CJ Hamilton as well, because he was absolutely outstanding in that season. The man could just walk on water or run on water at fast speed. So it was a great season to be a part of, and it's just such a shame that the brilliant football that was played ultimately in the end wasn't enough to get promoted, and missing out on the final day. By one goal would have taken them up automatically, and sadly it wasn't to be. And then following that, they changed the manager. They brought in, they appointed from within. They brought John Dempster up from the academy, and unfortunately for John, it just didn't work. As much as everybody wanted it to, as a former player, he was part of that team that got promoted back to the Football League in 2012, 2013. So everyone was willing him on, did brilliantly for the academy, but ultimately for whatever reason, it didn't work. So the change had to be made there. Graham Coughlin, they brought in the December of 2019, I think it was. I remember being very cold, standing on the Field Mill pitch interviewing him. And again, it always feels the same whenever there is a change of manager. There is that, as the football cliche goes, the new manager bounce, which was there when Graham Coughlin came in. Yeah, they won a couple of key games, and towards the end of last season, that was the season that COVID hit, of course, so we missed a couple of months of it. But when it was resumed again, we thought Graham Coughlin had recruited well. We saw some great names in there. But ultimately, again, it didn't work for whatever reason. The football wasn't ideal. Results were even worse. And it got to the end of October, and a change had to be made there as well. They hadn't won all season at that point, up until they came up to the Stadium of Light this time last year. And yeah, and so when you don't win for 14 games at the start of a season, and in all honesty, the season before, that the winning record wasn't that great. We just thought it was going to be a transition period, really, where Graham Coughlin would bring players in and be able to turn it around. But ultimately, he just ran out of time, wasn't getting results, and Mansfield were lingering. And so, yeah, obviously they brought in Nigel Clough a year ago this weekend. And since then, he's had quite a lot to contend with on the pitch. But hopefully now, having Nigel Clough as your manager, giving him a little bit more time as well, and he's recruited well. The season started well, but sort of tailed off a little bit, but it's slowly getting on the right track. Hopefully now they can start to kick on. And I mean, who knows, maybe if they get a result tomorrow at the Stadium of Light, and hopefully that can kickstart their season again.
Yeah, but that David Flitcroft thing, like I said, I was looking today, and I was looking at the playoffs, and I thought, you know, they missed out on penalties, and like you say, on the last day of the season, they missed out on automatics. And then when he was sacked, I was doing a bit of hunting around, saying, well, there must have been another reason. Something else must have been going on. And it was just, and the statement on the day from the owner was kind of not good enough. You know, and I'm sat there thinking, it just from the outside, that just looked like such a crazy decision to get rid of David Flitcroft after that playoff defeat.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say, really. I mean, even in hindsight, what we're now 2 years later, I suppose the decision was made at that time in the wake of a very disappointing result against Newport. I think the expectation was that they were going to get promoted. There was a lot of money thrown at it, a lot of money spent on it. There was, I think David Flitcroft had a lot of good resources, but ultimately there was one target in mind for the club at the time, and they didn't achieve it. And they thought, right, we'll try another way. And obviously hindsight is a wonderful thing in football, and at the moment it feels like more steps backwards and forwards. But yeah, at that time, it did feel like a bit of a strange decision. I thought maybe they'd sort of allow him to carry on and try and build on what he was doing there at the moment. And he was getting the best out of so many players there. It was incredible. And then at home, their home form was great. And I don't remember them losing a game in the league until January or February of that season. So the run they're on was remarkable, and they were breaking records left, right, and centre. And then it was just that finishing final couple of hurdles that they stumbled on, and ultimately they fell literally right at the line. And for that reason, I think obviously if they'd have got up in the playoffs, then he would have kept his job. But the aim was the playoffs, and sadly, they didn't make it. And ultimately, when you set a target and the manager doesn't reach the target, they feel like a change needs to be made.
Yeah, just looks, especially now when you look back, it just looks ruthless. But like you say, you know, Nigel Clough was appointed last November, I think it was. They were sitting third bottom in League Two at the time, and then he took them up to a final position of 16th at the end of the season. Nigel Clough's been linked with Sunderland a couple of times. You know, he's been on the betting lists a couple of times, and obviously he's had good record at Burton all those years, Derby and Sheffield United and all that. So it looked like a great appointment for Mansfield when it happened. I mean, I remember thinking it was a really, really good, solid appointment. But, I mean, when he took over, was he in a position where he had to rebuild? Because, I mean, we've talked about Flitcroft leaving and then a couple of years of struggling. So with two managers in quick succession, they probably had different ideas. So did Nigel Clough did he have to sort all that mess out that the other two managers had tried to implement?
I mean, I don't really think it was much of a mess. I think it was just, I mean, the players they had were good quality players on paper. I mean, at the time they had Andy Cook, Nicky Maynard. Who else did they have? They had the likes of, you know, George Maris, Ollie Clark, James Perch, Marit Steck in goal, two-time promotion winner, of course, with Luton. So they had a lot of decent players there at that level. And I think Nigel's job when he first arrived, of course, was to steady the ship and get a win. That was the main aim, really, to stop the horrible rot that they were on. And once they, once they got that win, you know, and sort of see what followed. And he kept it simple, just went back to a 4-4-2. Tried a few new things, because ultimately when a new manager comes in, you're sort of given a little bit of leeway, really, trying new things out, to get a feel for the team, see which players you still want to keep in the summer and which ones you don't really fancy, and you sort of start to see that towards the end of sort of December and January. He had players that he knew he wasn't going to keep in the summer, and tried to offload them either in the January or the following summer, trying to keep the wage bill down as well, because he said in his interview that he wants to use the club's money as if it's his own money, which is which is great. And ultimately, he wanted to get, like I said, better players for less money, players that work hard and play to his style. So I think it was just a transitional process. When he first arrived, he was getting the best out of some of these players. In fact, he was getting the best out of quite a few players in the end. I think they won five. They won five games in a row between January and February, which was great. Then they went on a bit of a barren spell where they couldn't get a win. But then slowly, towards the end of the season, I think they won like three or four games. Lost a couple, but they did have a better spell towards the end of the season. And it's a shame the season ended when it did, because it looked like they were going to start to put a decent run together. But ultimately, the main aim was get them safe, get the foundations in for next season and build from there, which is what he's in the process of doing.
Yeah. It's funny, I was looking down the list of old, you know, former Mansfield Town managers, and I forgot about some of the players who you had as managers over the years. You know, Keith Curl, Carlton Palmer, Peter Shirtlift, David Holdsworth, Paul Holland. It was like a who's who from an old championship manager. Some great names there.
It's a Hall of Fame, isn't it?
It was, yeah. But, I mean, like you said, he was kind of, we're talking about kind of getting his own players in. And in the summer, he brought the likes of Stephen Quinn from Burton on a free transfer. A lot of experience there, you know, Sheffield United back in the day. Oliver Hawkins, who Sunderland have come up against, with Portsmouth and Ipswich over the last two or three years.
Yeah.
Nathan Bishop, young goalkeeper on loan from Manchester United. Quite a few more on the list. But was Nigel Clough happy with what he was able to get done in the summer?
Yeah, I think so. When he got a lot of his business done early, like you say, bringing in Danny Johnson, Ollie Hawkins, Reece Oates as well. I think that was one thing he wanted to strengthen, was the forward line, to try and, you know, get goal scorers in, so that when they do create chances, and they will create chances, there's somebody there to knock them in the back of the net, which is why he brought in 6'6" Ollie Hawkins, who's dangerous in both boxes there. Danny Johnson, 20 goals last season for Orient. Gets goals out of nothing, really. Reece Oates was a bit of a almost an unknown entity, really. We knew he did well at Hartlepool, but since playing in the Football League, I'll be honest, I wasn't entirely sure, but obviously the proof is in the pudding. He's, you know, scored one and made the other on Saturday and had the game of his life against Tranmere. So he's got plenty of pace and he's a real asset to them now. And looking at the midfield, didn't make too many changes to the midfield. He brought Stephen Quinn in permanently from Burton, which is great. We've not seen the best of him because he's been suspended for 6 games, but now that he's back, that's sort of slowly looking like the team that they were at the start of the season. I suppose the main area of concern was and still is the defence, and they've had to sort of patch it up with whatever they can find, really. They've even put Ollie Hawkins there a couple of times in recent weeks. James Perch out for the season with a fractured skull, a freak injury in training, which, I mean, that's just extremely unlucky to lose arguably one of your best players, if not your best player. To lose him in that manner is just awful. And I hope that if he does come back, that he's still got a couple of years in him still. But yeah, I think that the main concern was just trying to patch up where the injuries and suspensions left them, well, decimated at the back at times. And now they are getting players back, they can move forward. But it just felt like football's got a funny way of kicking you when you're down. And every time we got the team sheet up to the press box, you're looking at who's missing, and then it's two more, and then one comes back, and then one's picked up in fifth yellow card, so they're suspended, and then they're a doubt, and you just think, and you look at other teams, you think they never seem to have these problems. Of course they do, but it just didn't feel like at that scale. So I think now is a good time because they're getting the players back, and hopefully the injury woes and the horrible hoodoo that they're under is finally over, and they can finally push on and get some results.
We've been hinting at the, you know, obviously the season Mansfield have had so far, which we'll kind of come on to in a minute in a bit more detail. But coming into the season, because they've had that strange time over the last kind of 4 or 5 years, I mean, were Mansfield fans just hoping for a season of finishing in the safety of mid-table, or were they kind of thinking, well, this is now to close first full season, and it kind of raised the expectation a bit?
I mean, I think the expectation was top seven, looking at the players that they've got. But I think any season that wasn't as bad as the season just gone is progress. I think the Mansfield Town fans are very, very patient with their club a lot of the time. And so long as you see that the players are trying and they're putting the effort in, and they can see that in the performances, then they're okay. But in terms of the expectation of the league position this season, I mean, it's still early days, of course, but I think top 10, top 7, 8th or 9th will be progress, and then from then they can build again. It's as the changing managers hasn't really worked as we now know. So I think now it's just all about slow and steady progress. You look at managers like Mike Flynn, ex-Newport County, who picked up Newport, of course, when they were down towards the bottom, and then, you know, got them to several playoff place finishes. Ultimately, didn't make it in the end, but he's now a Welsh hero over there now, and because of how well he did with Newport and what have you, and various other managers as well. You look at Mark Cooper now, Barrow for Forest Green. He was there for years, and slowly guided them up, sort of built on it season upon season, window on window. So I think that's probably the avenue they're going to have to go down. It's just going to have to be slow and steady progress. But Mansfield fans know that. They know it's not going to, they're not just going to wake up one day and be in the top three. It'd be great if they did, but ultimately you can't buy a promotion, sadly. You just have to work at it and hope that luck is on your side as well.
Yeah, I think that last sentence, I think a lot of Sunderland fans will know exactly what you're talking about there. We've had trouble with that. But just for kind of the Sunderland fans who might not know it in detail, I mean, the season got underway, Mansfield seemed to come flying out the blocks, they won two and drew one of the first three games, then it went a bit wrong. With a run of 12 without a win, that had five draws in there, until they beat Tranmere Rovers last weekend to stop the rot. So I mean, that's a pretty bad run, 12 without a win, and you've just said there that, you know, the owners have a recent history of firing managers pretty quickly. Obviously, Nigel Clough's a bigger name, I think, than those managers that they had previously. But do you think the owners were getting a bit twitchy when it was getting to kind of 12 without a win?
I can't speak for the owners, of course, but in any business, if you're not getting the results that your managers want, then obviously change has to be made or a decision has to be made. But I think there was a lot of sympathy towards Nigel Clough and his staff because of the horrible injury crisis that we're on. And I think the first two games against Bristol Rovers and Newport County, that they showed that they can get those results and they can win those games so long as they've got all the key ingredients on the pitch. So the likes of a James Perch and a Stephen Quinn and an informed Danny Johnson, obviously they're three key players in the team. And unfortunately, obviously losing James Perch so early on in the season, I think we all thought it was going to be out for a couple of weeks, maybe with concussion and then back. But to lose him for a whole season was a big blow. And they up until fairly recently, they never really recovered. And I think that sort of helped a little bit for the board to understand the situation that Mansfield are in. I mean, at one stage, they were in the bottom two. Prior to this weekend, they were in the bottom two. And I think when you look at that and you look at other teams around the country who are in a similar position and they're sacking their managers, I think what's great about Mansfield is that they could see why they were where they were, and they knew what they needed to do to rectify that. They just, I know it sounds simple, but they need to get their key players back. Mm-hmm. And when they are back, like we saw on Saturday, the performance improves and they get a result out of it. So, I mean, Nigel Clough, he's been in the industry for 50 odd years now. He's a footballing veteran as a player and as a manager. So he knows more than anybody the pressure that he was under. I believe we were talking about the Sunderland game going into, I can't remember which game it was now, but we were talking, I think it was just after the draw for the first round, and we were talking about that, and he jokingly said, if I make it that far. So even then, tongue in cheek, he knew he was under pressure. He knows the game well enough now to know that if you don't win for 12, 13 games, then the finger could well be on the trigger. But I think what, like I said before, what benefited him and the team was that the performances mostly were there. I can only think of maybe one or two bad performances where they didn't deserve to get anything from the game, and a lot of it was bad luck in that run. There was a goal at Swindon that should have stood, that they say didn't cross the line, where we're pretty certain it did. Late penalty at Colchester that wasn't a penalty. Various other decisions as well that just didn't go their way, and so that combined with injuries and suspensions, it just made a horrible cocktail of misfortune, and obviously that's why Mansfield were where they were. But hopefully now that's all out of the way, they can push on now. And we've seen it in many a season down the years. Once you get one win, you can get a couple more, three, four more in a row, possibly. It's not impossible. And they could be back up towards, I don't know, eighth, ninth in the league and in touching distance of the playoffs. So I think had they been in that position towards, I don't know, March, April, then it would have been very different. But thankfully, we're still in, November, and still a long way to go yet.
Yeah, you were talking about Nigel Clough's experience in the game. I mean, good. When you think with his dad, he's probably been in the game since he was knee high, hasn't he? Really?
But
Saturday's game, I mean, like, as we've said, after a run of 12 without a win, huge win against Tranmere. Mm. I read a report of the Tranmere game and some of your social media comments as well, I was looking at when you covered that win. And it seemed to me just that it was a really impressive performance. And when I was reading all this stuff, it just gave me the impression that they were just that they were kind of turning a corner in that result.
Yeah, it felt like it. It felt like it was coming as well. I think the Port Vale game and even in some of the Exeter game, that those sort of three performances there were very good. And to only get 1 point out of six from, well, sorry, one what was it 4 points out of nine. They probably could have done with a couple more. They probably should have beaten Port Vale with the quality that they had, and to do it against a top level League Two side like Tranmere, like Port Vale as well, to play as well as they did against them, it just shows they can compete at that level with the players that they've got. But I think just getting that win and the clean sheet as well, that all important clean sheet, it felt like they turned a corner. And it's almost as if like the final piece of the jigsaw was there, but obviously now they need to build on that. And it probably came at the perfect time as well, going into an FA Cup weekend, and they've got the EFL trophy on the Tuesday as well against Newcastle. So they've got a bit of a break from the league now, and they've got a good run of games coming up against the likes of Stevenage and Scunthorpe, who are both struggling a little bit. Well, Scunthorpe especially are struggling. So two big opportunities there to build on what they did against Tranmere and keep that momentum going, turn that corner, and then from there they can start to look up and try and see their next target, which is probably mid-table, and then see where they are in sort of Christmas, New Year time.
Yeah. I mean, thinking about the FA Cup tie on Saturday, because, I mean, from my point of view, with the run Sunderland are on at the moment, I'm completely split on whether or not it's good timing for Sunderland to take a break from the league, or, you know, that, you know, do we need a break? Do we want to get back into it because we're on a bad run, etc.? But how are Mansfield fans looking at the tie? Do they, I mean, obviously, you know, it's probably a good trip up to Sunderland, maybe to, you know, get tickets and go to that game. But do they see it as a distraction after getting back to winning ways on Saturday that they have to play in the FA Cup?
Possibly, yeah. I think an away day like that, particularly for Mansfield, doesn't come around that often. I think they're just going to go up and enjoy it, particularly as well as they didn't get to last season. As I touched on at the start of the podcast, they were when the draw was made for last season and I saw it was Sunderland away, my first thought was, oh, like, I mean, I was delighted that I was going to be able to go to the Stadium of Light, but of course I was, of course, disappointed at the fact that, I mean, Mansfield fans would have travelled in numbers up to there. Well, they are this weekend. So I think they're just excited for a stadium that a lot of fans might not have been to enjoy themselves. And particularly with Sunderland on the run that they're on at the moment, that they want their team to go and have a crack like they did last season and hopefully come away with something, which obviously doesn't bode well for the Sunderland podcast viewers. Apologies, but you know, it's the FA Cup and there's still magic in it. They dream of that glamour third tie. They've been close to playing Man City a couple of times in recent seasons. It's just getting over that hurdle in the second or third round. But I think that they'll be looking at it thinking, right, we've got a win now. We've got some of our best players back. Let's go and have a pop at Sunderland and see what they can do. I know you're sort of battling on three fronts, particularly in the League Cup and of course the league and FA Cup still. So yeah, I think they're just excited to get up there, take in a game, make a day of it. If they win, then great, we're in the second round. If they lose, okay, we had a great day out at the Stadium of Light, but now we can focus on the league campaign. So it's a win-win, really. I think the pressure is off slightly.
Yeah, I was going to say, because, came up last season. We talked about the game last season. Obviously, Mansfield won that 1-0, which we've said again was behind closed doors. Mm. And I don't know if that has an impact, actually, but how do you think Nigel Clough will approach the game? I think you've just mentioned there in terms of the fans thinking, yeah, it's just a free hit. We'll have a good day. Will Nigel Clough be thinking, actually, Sunderland are in a bit of a run of bad form. We can have a go at these.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both, really. I think he knows that the pressure is well, the onus is on Sunderland to win that game. Of course, you know, like you mentioned there, you're not in great form, and it's a big opportunity to sort of turn things around a bit, even if it is in the FA Cup. But I think Nigel Clough will approach it. He's not going to take too many risks with it. Obviously, the main focus now is turning the league form around. But if they can go up to Sunderland, put a decent team out and put a good display on, again, even if they don't get the result, as long as the performance is really good and something they can use for the upcoming games in the league, then I think it'll be a bonus. I mean, if you go up there and if Mansfield go up there on Saturday and play really well and narrowly lose 1-0, that's, I know, disappointing as the result is. If they play really well, they can build on that and say, right, we can compete with the top League One side, which have got Championship quality players. You know, let's take this performance into the league and try and implement it on teams of lesser quality. So yeah, I think that the main focus for Nigel is to he knows this, he mentioned it in his press conference, is go up there, give them a good go, do the best, might be able to come away with the result, but if you don't, it's not the absolute worst thing in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I noticed in that press conference he actually said that he was going to pretty much go with as strong a side as he could put out, you know, without risking players' fitness and things like that. So sounded to me like he was going to have a go. And I mean, I was looking at the players who kind of could be the potential kind of dangers to Sunderland, and I saw Danny Johnson, 4 goals this season. I mean, is he the obvious player Sunderland are going to be looking out for on Saturday?
He's one of them, yeah. But I think your main man to keep an eye on is probably Ollie Hawkins, because I'll be honest, I don't really know where he's going to play, because he was brought in as a striker, a 6'6" target man, as it were, to link up with Johnson. But of course, Mansfield's defensive woes and injury worries, as they were, they had to put Hawkins at the back. But again, he's still dangerous in both boxes, really. So I think, you know, the main aim, of course, Sunderland will know a little bit about him from his days at Ipswich, but he's obviously one to keep an eye on, sort of thing. Again, very good in the air. I suppose you should be at 6'6", but you look at the quality that they've got in the midfield, that midfield diamond that they're playing as well. George Maris sitting at that top of the diamond, he's absolutely superb. He makes a real difference to the way Mansfield play. Gets the ball on the floor, and as soon as the ball's at his feet, he's looking up left or right or through the middle and plays some superb passes. Stephen Quinn, again, we've touched on him earlier, championship player, did brilliantly with Sheffield United and Hull City, Burton Albion. And even though he's 35, he still plays like he's 25. And you could tell he was a massive miss. So again, he'll be right up for it as well. He'll have had a few encounters at the Stadium of Light down the years. There's a couple of key players that Sunderland wants to keep an eye on. But George Lapsey as well, of course, the goal scorer from the game last season. Nearly forgot about him. He's just finding form now, and he's enjoying his football. He didn't quite start the season as he would have liked, but ultimately he's slowly enjoying his football again. And he's obviously very keen to impress and to improve this season. So there's plenty of good quality Mansfield Town players in there that Sunderland should certainly be wary of.
Yeah, you're starting to get me worried with the form we're in, going through it like that.
I mean, our form's not much better, I'll be honest. It's at least there's a win in there.
yeah, that's it. But I think it's going to be an interesting tie considering the form we're in, and you're up after the weekend. But are you travelling up for the game? Are you covering that?
Yeah, I'll be covering it on Radio Nottingham. So it's I think Forrester playing Preston at home in that game. But we only do updates on Mansfield Town, just because we don't have the broadcast rights to do full commentary at the moment. So we sort of do. I commentate off stream, and then we use the highlights and what have you for our social media and everything else in between. And I sort of almost like Final Score and Five Live sort of report into the programme. So I'll definitely be there. I'm looking forward to getting up there. Like I said at the start of the show, start of the programme, it's a great stadium to go to. It looked very eerie last season when it was empty, which was very strange. And I kind of thought an opportunity like this might not come again for a while, but thankfully it has. I mean, I've not been to the Stadium of Light when it's full or even on a match day. So I'm very excited to see what the atmosphere is going to be like, how that will affect the game. I think there's 1,000 or 1,500 Mansfield Town fans who have bought tickets already as we speak. So, again, it's just going to make for a really, really good game of football.
Well, thanks for that, Jake. You've got me really, really worried and concerned about it. I was thinking when I said I couldn't decide whether it was a distraction, I'll probably be able to tell you after the result. If we get beat, it was something we didn't need, and if we win, well, there you go. It was a good distraction to maybe get our head back in the game. Hope you enjoy your trip up to Sunderland. Going off last year, it's anybody's tie. You know what the FA Cup's like. But yeah, on that note of me being terrified about the result, I just want to say thank you very much, Jake. Really enjoyed the chance to catch up.
My pleasure.
Hope you enjoy your weekend.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on. And here's to a good game on Saturday.
I'm so scared now. But thanks again for your time, Jake. Appreciate it.
Top man. Cheers, Chris.
And thanks again, everyone, for listening. Keep a look out at Roker Report for all the build-up ahead of the game on Saturday. And keep an eye out on all the usual places for the next pod that should be dropping very soon. But from us, it's bye for now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.